All right.
Kate, I'm here. I'm in the studio. Why? You called me in here. You have a surprise. What's actually happening?
I do have a surprise for you. But can you introduce the show first, please?
I have to introduce the show before you tell me what the show is about.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then we will unwrap this gift I have for you, this audio gift.
All right. From Gimlet Media.
Uh-huh.
This is Sampler. I'm your host, Brittany Luce, with my producer, Kate Parkinson Morgan.
Hello.
So here you go, Kate. I've introduced the show. Lay it on me.
Okay, so Brittany.
Yes, Kate.
I've been wanting to play you these clips from this one podcast for a while.
Okay. You've been keeping this. I just want to say you've been keeping this secret from me for like 2 months now.
Yeah, because if I say anything about it, then it kind of ruins any surprise. It's from this podcaster who's learning how to host. So this podcaster is about 20 episodes deep at this point. And what I love about listening is in every episode, there's this moment where some of his style changes or he tries a new approach in hosting. I just want to hear your thoughts on like his hosting and how it evolves over time.
Basically, this is like a man. So this is a man and up and coming podcaster. Or like up and coming host of some kind, somebody who's new to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And
part of what you just said is really funny, given what I will play you in a second. So I will just play you the very first episode, which begins with an introduction.
Okay, this is my show about science. It's your host, Nate. This is my very first podcast, and hopefully you enjoy it. So, okay, enjoy this video about science. It's called The Show About Science. Okay, Dad, you can shut the recording off. On The Show About Science today, my guest is my mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Nate. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm so glad to hear.
So Nate is very new to podcasting.
So Nate started his first podcast when he was 5.
Oh my gosh.
He was in kindergarten.
Wait, so he's like older now?
Yeah, it was a year ago. So okay. He's been in podcasting in the game for a year. So kind of like you.
Literally, he and I had the same first guest. His first guest was his mom and my first guest was my mom.
I thought that was a nice parallel.
Yeah, my mom was the very first guest that I had on Sampler. And I can totally understand why Nate would want to have his mom be his first guest. I could see why Nate would start with his mom. She's somebody that I already know very intimately and somebody who, like, makes me feel comfortable. Like, I don't feel nervous talking to her. I totally get it.
So I should say that his dad engineers the show. So it's kind of a family affair, you might say. And if you didn't catch the name, it's called Show About Science. So he doesn't just interview his mom. He interviews like a bunch of different scientists of all stripes. And in this episode that I'm going to play you next, he's talking to a marine biologist. It's his second episode. And I want you to pay attention to his unique interviewing style.
Okay.
What do you know about sea snails?
Sea snails?
Mm-hmm.
They don't look like snails we get on the land. They don't always have shells.
Sea snails don't look like snails you see on the land.
A lot of them don't have shells.
A lot of them don't have shells, but mine does.
Yours do?
Yep.
Ah, and they can also be very poisonous.
And they can also be very poisonous, but mine's not.
But that's usually only the deep sea ones, because they have to protect themselves.
Yeah, mine is not because I found it at the surface. Keep on going.
Okay. The brightly colored sea snails?
Okay, so I'm picking up on a tactic mm-hmm. that I can definitely understand. And I've even seen Oprah herself use this one.
Mm.
Sometimes when you're talking to a guest, you want to repeat back some of what they've said to you so that they know that you're listening. Now, he repeated back almost almost every single word.
Every single word, yeah.
So he was listening very closely, which is a great trait in a host. But the other thing that he did is he maintained a conspiratorial tone with the audience by whispering.
I definitely got the sense that he had a voice here. Like, I was excited to listen more because I could tell he was a little bit cheeky.
He has a little flair.
Yeah, he has a little flair. So I kept listening. This is his third episode. He's interviewing a food scientist called Shannon.
Ooh.
She helps make the flavors for Starbursts, like the candy, if you've heard of it. And I want you to kind of listen closely for how Nate really tries to connect with his guest.
So, what is it like to be a food scientist?
Oh, it's actually super fun because it combines two things I've always loved. I loved learning about science, and I love food and nutrition. So the fact that you can combine those two and make a career out of that and make both healthy and tasty foods for people is really rewarding as far as a career.
I bet it is.
And it's fun.
Speaking of that, I made a really sweet juice that people would like.
Oh, yeah?
I drank it myself today. And I also made another delicacy today.
Really?
Three other ones.
Mm-hmm. What were they?
The first one was grape salted fishy cracker.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was grape salted Cheerio. The third one was grape salted fishy cracker Cheerio.
I like grapes. I think it'd be fun if we did a grape Starburst. Do you think that would be good?
Yeah, yummy.
Congrats to Nate on using that wonderful $10 word delicacy multiple times.
Grape salted fishy cracker Cheerio?
Yeah, so I don't know about...
Would you eat it?
Hell no. I remember making all sorts of... I used to do this specifically with, like, juice and soda. I used to call them concoctions.
What were those concoctions?
I mean, think of any juice. Think of all juices and just put them all together.
That sounds good, though.
It was. It couldn't have been. They looked brown, and then I would try to get my parents to drink it, and they were just like, no.
That's like, better than, like, me presenting my mother with a mud pie and being like, you need to eat this with me. Like, you actually were using real food.
Yeah, no. No, I at least spared my parents that ask.
I just liked that he kind of went into a personal anecdote. It's a tricky line to draw of, like, how much of your own personal stories to put in there.
But you have to sometimes, like, use that anecdote as, like, a connection to the other person. You know what I mean? You've primed your guest to trust you, to understand you, to work with you, to talk to you.
I feel like it's a good technique.
If this is where Nate is in 2016, at age, like, 6, I mean, sky is the limit.
Yeah, and also remember this whole time when he's interviewing his guests. You know how most people, when you're interviewing, you at least have notes in front of you to remind yourself of who this guest is about, something to prompt a question.
So I'm just gonna come up with questions for you. I don't have them written down on the script because I forget them. I can't read. I don't even know how to write those words either. I don't know what letters they consist of.
That was well said.
Okay, so...
So he can't read. He can't write. He's just coming up with these questions out of the blue, which is why I think it makes this last clip that I'm going to play for you particularly poignant and great. It's from episode 8.
Uh-huh.
He is interviewing an astronaut instructor.
Incredible.
So, have you ever met a space shark or space dolphin?
A space shark or a space dolphin? I don't think that humankind or human scientists have discovered or encountered a space shark or a space dolphin yet. But if we continue exploring outside the solar system, no doubt we're going to come across some other life form that's either going to remind us of a space human or a space shark or a space dolphin. I think a space dolphin would be excellent.
Yeah, they guide us away from space sharks.
Are you afraid of sharks?
Nah.
I'm not either. And I don't go into their territory at night when they're hungry. I leave them be.
I never go into deep waters. I usually stay in the shallows.
Are you a good swimmer?
Yeah. I sometimes even never go into the sea. But they only exist in the ocean, so I don't know why I'm fearing to go into the Chicago beach, because that's a lake. I don't know why I don't want to go in there. I have no idea.
Well, as long as you're a good swimmer. And you know what? People used to be afraid of the unknown. Like, before we were pretty good at science, we would look at a big body of water, like a lake, and we never knew what was in there. So we would think maybe there was monsters in there.
So why would we think that?
A lot of times we are afraid of the unknown. You know how everything, you can be in your room and the light's on and you're totally okay, but sometimes if you're in a room that you're just in with the lights on and then the lights go off, it gets kind of spooky.
Yeah, and you're afraid.
Yeah, I think that's because we get afraid of the unknown. So if we can't see it, if we don't know what's there, our imagination starts to kick in. And human beings have really good imaginations.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. It's like he was able to have this entire stretch of like adult conversation, you know, that kind of got a little deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of got into like the big questions of life.
8 episodes in, and you're getting into a really interesting conversation about the meaning of the unknown.
There's a lot to be gleaned from like a younger voice. You know what I mean? Somebody who's not afraid, somebody who's very curious, somebody who's unselfconscious. Not only do I think that more young people should have podcasts, but I also think that more adult podcasters should approach the craft like young people.
What do you mean by that?
I think that, you know, there's so many things to think about when you're hosting. There's like, what do I sound like? Am I communicating well with the other person? Am I setting a good vibe? You're doing all of these things. And Nate really, to me, just exemplifies bringing it back to basics and just having a conversation led by your curiosity.
Well, thanks for having this conversation with me.
My pleasure. I'm glad I finally got to find out what it was. This was an excellent surprise.
I'm so glad. You can find more of Nate's wonderful podcasts and questions about space dolphins and much more at Show About Science. Another standout episode is his interview with Santa.
How did he ever get through?
Yeah, it was a big booking. Like, I don't know how he got that booking. We should all be very inspired by this now 6-year-old podcast host.
Gosh, grown up before my very ears.
You're so corny.
I know. After the break, things will get even more childish with a little help from my boss, Gimlet co-founder and president, Matt Lieber. Welcome back to Sampler. So today's show is all about podcasts and kids. So in the first half, we listened to a podcast that was made by a kid. And in the second half, we are going to listen to a couple podcasts that are made for kids. So I don't have any children myself. So I invited Gimlet president and co-founder Matt Lieber into the studio with me to be our, like, child surrogate. Except, like, child surrogate is already an
child
existing
child surrogate
term.
Makes it sound like I'm going to have your child for you.
I wish you would. I wish I could outsource that task.
Yeah. You can, but not to me.
Yeah, not to you. And also, I don't know. I can't afford that presently. But, you know.
Is this your way of asking for a raise?
Is it working? So, Matt Lieber.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sampler.
Thanks.
Okay, so you're our kid surrogate, Matt. Because you have children.
They're 4 and 6. They're named Max and Lillian.
And Max and Lillian, they listen to podcasts.
They do, yeah.
How did they get into podcasts?
Well, podcasts are the family business. So obviously, like, I listen to a ton of podcasts. And I feel, like, slightly bad about why they're actually into podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say, like, oh, they love storytelling and learning things. And podcasts are great for those. two activities. But the truth is, I was looking for a way to keep them out of my hair without having to have them watch TV.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was like, what can I have them do that's not watching TV, but that will occupy them? Mm-hmm. And of course, podcasts.
Adults usually listen to podcasts when they're doing other stuff. Like, do they like child multitask? Like, do they listen to podcasts while they play or get ready for bed or something?
Yeah. I mean, when they're doing their chores, like when we make them do manual labor, do the dishes, pick up the house, rake the leaves.
They're doing dishes at 4 and 6?
Take out the garbage. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't remember.
No, they don't do other things. The two main times they'll listen to podcasts are either on car trips,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes they'll listen before they go to bed. Like, I will tell them a story,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll be like, we want more stories. And then I'll be like, cool, I'll put on podcasts, and then walk out of the room.
Podcasts are your babysitter.
Yeah, it's like my little automatic babysitter.
So wait, what are their favorite shows to listen to?
Some of their favorite shows are like Story Nori, Eleanor Amplified,
mm-hmm.
Brains On, Story Spark.
Well, I know you have something to play for me from one of the shows that you use to babysit your kids.
Yes.
And then I will play something for you.
Ooh.
And hopefully introduce you to something new to add to their roster.
Oh, cool. Okay, so the clip I brought for you is from a podcast called The Radio Adventures of Eleanor Amplified.
Ooh.
This is a relatively new show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a scripted fiction show. And the main character is called Eleanor Amplified, and she's a radio reporter. So she covers different kinds of stories as a reporter, and as she covers these stories, they take her on all these crazy adventures. And this was created by, you know, Fresh Air with Terry Gross,
yeah.
the big, like, interview show. This was created by one of her producers named John Sheehan. And he talks about how, like, this was his side project. And he would, like, during lunchtime, he would, like, you know, clear his desk mm-hmm. and do sound design and scripting and production on Eleanor Amplified and then go back to making Fresh Air. The thing to know about this clip is that, so Eleanor is kind of the heroine, and she's been investigating this evil tech company called Megablurg,
mm.
and she has discovered some very incriminating information. It turns out that the company was launching this weather satellite into space that was going to prevent hurricanes, but in reality, its purpose was going to be to project banner ads onto the moon.
This sounds really nefarious.
Yeah. So right before the clip, Eleanor is digging around at the launch site of the satellite, and Megablurg's CEO tricks her into getting into a space shuttle.
Mission Control, anyone? This is Eleanor Amplified. I'm on board the space shuttle.
Roger that, Eleanor Amplified. Did you know that this shuttle's current destination is outer space?
Yes, I'm aware of that. Megablurg CEO Angela Branch shot me into space. Now how do I stop this thing?
Well, I guess you could detach the space shuttle from the rocket and glide it back down to Earth.
Yeah, yes, I'll do that.
I'm sorry, Miss Amplified. I can't allow you to do that.
Let go of me, robot. All right, you asked for this.
Oh no, my robot brain. I will see you soon, Steve Jobs. Pilot robot deactivating.
Mission Control, how do I detach the rocket boosters?
There should be a large green flashing button on your control panel.
Yes!
Now, whatever you do, don't push that button until you've reached low Earth orbit in about 3 more minutes.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we see that you are in free fall heading for the ocean. But don't panic. You should have a pilot robot on board that can take over and fly you to safety.
No, I kind of pulled out his robot brain.
10-4, Amplified. To your right, you should see a vast expanse of ocean.
Yeah? Yeah.
And to your left, you should see more ocean.
So what do I do?
Are you a strong swimmer?
Relatively.
Okay, the shuttle boosters should slow you down before impact, and when the emergency hatch blows, you can swim to safety.
So I'm gonna make it out of this?
Sure. I like your odds.
great.
There. Wake up, my dear.
Angela Brandt, rocket ship, mega blurg, moon projector.
Whoa, slow down. You're not making any sense. Just breathe a moment.
Where am I?
You're aboard the Bonnie Lass, the finest cargo ship to sail the shimmering sea. My name is Captain Con Shonnery, and you are?
Eleanor Amplified.
Eleanor Amplified, the radio reporter. Incredible. I love your show.
Thanks. Do you have a radio or a satellite phone? I've got to let people know I'm okay. And I think my cell phone was damaged in the crash.
Of course. Ack, erg. Make some tea for us, would you, lads?
Ack, erg.
Come with me, Eleanor.
Oh my God, that was incredible. I did used to nanny when I was younger. For kids that are actually about the same age as your kids, and like the one of the hardest things to do when you have two kids in the car and like you want to listen to something, they need to listen to something, and those like it needs to be like child appropriate and it shouldn't be boring. Like, I wish children's podcasts, especially like this one, would have been around. Like, Eleanor has this like really exciting story that has all these twists and turns. Like, I just heard her go from being in space to like in the ocean to now on like a boat with like a Scottish, you know, seafarer.
Con Shonnery.
Yes, Con Shonnery.
Yeah, it really does take you on a journey. And like that, I think like the way that you go from space to burbling underwater to up on this like buoy or this boat is pretty great. And I mean, so my kids love it and they will like talk. Like, I asked my son after he listened to a couple episodes, like, so what went on? And he like narrated the story beat for beat. So he's totally following it and getting it, but then as an adult, it's like there are characters that are like there are funny, tropey characters,
yeah,
that you can get a chuckle about.
Well, even just like the Sean Connery joke, like having this like the Scottish like seaman, yeah,
yes.
Irish,
yes,
oh yes, you're talking like,
yeah,
one more time,
no.
You're not a wind-up doll. But yeah, like, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best version of a kid, the best version of any kid's programming is just a great show. Or great, mm-hmm. Like, the Pixar movies, right? Like,
yeah.
A six-year-old can watch them and get caught up in them. But then, if you, like, as an adult, you can go back and watch Toy Story and Up. And, like, mm-hmm. It's just great stories with great characters. And I don't actually need that out of a podcast. Like, I just need it to engage them for half an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I go off and like write more emails. But the best version is something like this, where it's like, it's yeah, the kids and the adults can like go on the journey.
Yeah. So I have something for you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. So the name of the show that this clip comes from is called Shabam.
I've heard of this, but I haven't listened to it.
So like you can hear this clip and then you can take it home and then your kids can have something new. You can have yet another babysitter.
Great.
So Shabam actually comes from this podcast network called Foolyboo. It's a science show that's actually set in a fictional world. But in this world, there's a, like, zombie apocalypse. Mm. So in this particular clip, you aren't really going to hear anything about the zombie apocalypse. But just to give you a sense of what the series is like, they use this story arc of, like, a zombie apocalypse throughout the episodes as a way to explain a bunch of different science topics, like how the brain works or why humans get sick. So the episode that this clip comes from is actually about digital communication, like, you know, texting, cell phones. I know one of your favorite topics.
Texting and cell phones?
Digital communication. I feel like you are always pretty up on digital communication.
Oh my God, you're making me sound so boring.
No, I'm not making you sound boring.
It's like I walk around the office. I'm like, hey guys, what's new in digital communication today?
It's actually what just happened, but it's cool.
That's true. I did just come by your desk and start obsessing over the possibility that Apple is going to eliminate the headphone jack from the next iPhone.
Exactly. So my description was hashtag accurate. So you're going to hear some characters. There's someone in it named Elliot. And you're also going to hear the hosts, Wendy Roederweiss and Josh Kurz, as well as Mel Herbert. So the first voice you're going to hear is Josh Kurz.
At any given moment, there are on average 7 million cell phone conversations going on simultaneously in the U.S. So while you're going to the bathroom or walking down the street with your friends or eating spaghetti, this is what's happening around you. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because no one just has cell phones that make calls anymore.
Oh, Mom says, don't pick up pizza, go straight home and eat the frozen pizza.
Texting, pictures, videos, it's how we communicate these days.
Pizza in freezer has been frozen since Civil War.
And the technology usually works, so we don't think about how amazing it is. Just like we don't think about how amazing freezers are.
They didn't have freezers in the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
Ice was brought by rail car.
So cute.
That's what they did, though.
And smart.
Let's try and visualize how much information is getting sent back and forth.
Nadine is coming over.
After Elliot finishes texting, obviously.
Can you tell her dad?
Okay, we're going to slow down time a little. We've stretched out a second, so it takes 5 minutes in podcast time. So a housefly that usually flaps its wings 200 times a second sounds like this.
I feel like I could get so much more done right now.
I feel like I could catch so many more flies right now.
We've slowed things down to give you a sense of how many text messages get sent in a tenth of a second. And people aren't just texting, they're tweeting, using the internet to post on Tumblr or Instagram, and yes, sending emails. At this point, 64 pictures have been uploaded to Instagram. There have been 583 tweets, 11,500 text messages, and 58,000 instant messages sent.
And that all happened in a tenth of a second, which in real time lasts about this long. Let's try that again. This long. You got that? So in a tenth of a second, this 58,000 instant messages just got sent. This. It takes an average person 2 years to do that many texts, okay? So this flow of information, pictures, texts, phone calls, Google searches, videos, is constant and from all over the world in all different languages. And there's all these different machines we have to send this information back and forth, like smartphones and cable boxes and computers, and they're all connected to networks made of cables and other computers connected to other networks. It sounds like a big mess. But it's not.
Are you home yet? Still waiting on pizza.
It's not a mess because all of this information has been digitized, meaning it's been converted into a digital language, which we call binary, but scientists call ones and zeros.
No, we call it binary.
They call it ones and zeros because it's a language that's just made up of ones and zeros.
Actually, zeros sound like nothing, but we couldn't just put that, so we put crickets instead.
Anyway, once information has been converted into ones and zeros, it's said to be digitally encoded. Every selfie that gets sent, every text message, email, phone call, cable TV show, and Grumpy Cat meme is information that has been digitally encoded. And anywhere you go, if you're sending or receiving information that's been digitally encoded...
Can you turn up the TV a little?
You're sending and receiving millions and millions and millions of ones and zeros.
That helped.
Even if you're watching the news in Spanish in some random pizza joint in Los Angeles.
It's nice. It's really cool how they basically managed to do like data visualization, but in the form of audio.
Right. Just that tenth of a second.
Yeah.
I'm a big texter. When they were talking about like, oh, you know, this many texts are getting sent out in a tenth of a second, it would take the average human 2 years. And I'm like, no, I'm sending out that many texts every tenth of a second.
I did that in a
second. I'm like, that's me. I was like, you guys actually just been studying my habits.
Who do you text with?
I have family group text. I have my best friends from home group text. I have my best girlfriends from Howard group text. I have like my friends who I live in Brooklyn kind of near group. I also...
So these are all group texts.
These are all group texts, but I'm not always like I also have individual...
Can I, Can I sample your group text?
No.
I just am dying to know what the Howard girls group is.
Oh, no, you absolutely cannot read that. Are you kidding me?
What's it about?
No, it's about, like, everything. I mean, we talk about usually, like, work. We talk a lot about, like, either, like, boyfriends or being single. A couple of my friends have kids, so we talk about their kids. People send videos. We talk about vacation. We talk about what we saw people doing on Instagram.
Oh, my God. I would die to get in this group. I just want to be in this group so badly.
You got to get in line.
Oh,
you
got to
get in line.
I got to go do 4 years at Howard.
Yeah, you got to go do 4 years.
Are you not going to let me see the group?
No, absolutely
really?
Not. That would be a major betrayal of trust of four of my closest friends.
I don't know who they are.
No, not. I can't do that. You can't betray people's trust.
All you can read my text. You're like, okay. Yeah, that's okay. Those are boring.
To recap what you've heard on today's show, the adorable hosting by Nate came from The Show About Science. The thrilling space shuttle mishap was from The Radio Adventures of Eleanor Amplified, and the explainer on digital communication was from the podcast Shabam. All right, take it away, Nate.
Thanks, Brittany. This episode was produced by Sarah Abdurrahman, Kate Parkinson Morgan, and Brittany Luce. It was edited by Annie Rose Strasser. And what clown?
Peter Clowney.
And Peter Clowney.
You're popping your peas. Try again.
But popping my what? And Peter Clowney. And special thanks to my dad and producer, Eric Butkus. Subbler's theme music was made by Michael Velian. And the end music was made by Mark Phillips. The show was mixed by Haley Shaw and Matthew Bull. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media. Thank you, Brittany, for having me on your show. And Sampler is the like a bit like the gold of podcasting. I am talking like about Mount Everest gold. Yeah, Mount Everest gold.